Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of The Switch. And of course, my name is Dolefe Taiwo. Yes, so I have an interesting guest on the episode today. So I set out to do a series for people looking to know what it is about, you know, being a doctoral student. And I stumbled on this person's post on Twitter, and I was like, okay, I mean, she's had quite an interesting journey from Unilag to from Unilag to UBC, yes, and then UBC again. So today on the show with me, we have Abisola Kennedy. Thank you for jumping on this episode with me, Abisola. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Good. I'm just gonna dive right in. I want to start from the beginning, right? So before we get to doctoral school. So what has the journey been like from BSc to MSc to PhD?
Well, it's been a long journey, and I don't know, maybe we'd have to like break it down into specific questions.
Let me do it like this. What was Unilag like?
Oh, Unilag like, yeah. And so I think it's better to start that way. Unilag was everything like that you really need, actually. Unilag is everything. Well, like I do say to people, I mean, no offense, but like the slang goes, they are just two universities in Nigeria.
Oh my gosh, okay. We are going to go there, right?
That's by the side, anyways. But Unilag is a very good school. I think it's a good way to balance your social and your academic life. And when I started out in Unilag, I did not believe that I could, you know, come out with such great grades and all that, because you know the hype was always like, if you go to Unilag you can lose yourself, you don't know how to balance stuff, like you don't read that much, it's always fashion. So when I went into Unilag, I wanted to study medicine, but I couldn't get the cutoff, so I decided to do biochemistry. And I really did not know too much about biochemistry or like the prospects. So after reading through that, I saw the career path. So I was like, okay, this seems interesting. But anyways, I could also end up being a professor. Okay, no, actually, when I was starting out, when I started out like to do biochemistry, I did not know it. I'm not sure I had the thought of becoming a professor. I'm not too sure. But I knew that I just wanted to go to uni, like, you know, study. And but one thing that always worked, because I was like the consistently best student in my secondary school and so it was when I got to SS3 that I was like, you know, maybe I should just chill out and just be doing big girl things instead of listening too much on book, you know how it is now, like I always think, you know, Nigerians have this vibe that it's not all about book, you might not even be successful, so I don't always want to do too much. Exactly. So I felt like, okay, maybe I should just be regular when I got to SS3. But I still graduated top, but my zeal for being the outstanding student kind of dropped. So when I got into Unilag, I also wanted to be regular. I just wanted to just, you know, stay on 2-1, enjoy social life, come out, and, you know, just be good. So that when I finished my first semester, it was so good. You know, my result was so good that I came into a diploma. So my result was so good that somebody had to tell me my result. She was like, oh, are you Abisola? You are one of like those that had the CGPA in the department, even in the faculty. I'm like, okay, so maybe I'm actually intelligent. So that was how the journey started for me. And the second semester, of course, if you've done well in first semester, you probably just want to, you know, keep up with the pace.
Yeah,
exactly. So I decided to like, okay, let me just go for it, you know that. And so the most interesting fact in Unilag, to get a special hostel seat, you know, if you are not like a specific category. So there was a particular scholar one. They were like, if you are in the first class, you get this small room hostel. Ah, that was like the big deal.
Was an incentive for you.
Just crazy. Exactly. So I'm just like, you know what, I'll go for it. I'll get this hostel. So that was like a motivating factor for me to get first class in Unilag. Yeah, you can try to cut in if you think I'm going too fast.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Go ahead.
So yeah, that was how I got motivated to, you know, get on the first class. And when I was on the first class, you know, I wanted to keep up with the pace, and I just saw myself at the top of the class, and I just had to, like, you know, maintain it and get the BGS stuff. So that was the whole journey.
So how did it feel when you know, when you found out you were the, you know, best graduate student?
Oh my god, it was too good. Like, I can't even explain it. The hypes, you know, when people were like, our BGS now, you know, the, like, just the look on your parents' face, their friends,
the happiness,
and everything. Yeah. It was everything to me. So I felt really good, extremely excited, and really good, really proud of myself. My parents were proud of me, and that made me happy.
So, okay, so UniLab is done, right? At what point did you say, okay, it was, the next step was a master's degree, right? I mean, did you want to work, or you already said, look, at the back of your mind, you just wanted to have your master's degree, right? And at what point did you decide to say, okay, it's Canada, and when you did decide Canada, it's UBC?
Okay, so thank you for the question. UniLab is not gone, actually, because... Maybe not quite gone. That was the BSc part. So when I was, you know, when people do say BGS and all that, they're like, oh, obviously they think, they expect you to go for masters. And I was like, maybe I should just be a professor. And I always like to have backup plans. So I'm like, if this professor thing doesn't click, I'll just, you know, work in industry or work somewhere else in biochemistry. I mean, it's biochemistry. There are so many opportunities. So after, like, and when I was in my final year, a friend said to me that in UniLab, like, there's this GA program, graduate assistantship, where you have your master's and then you get paid, and like it's an employment. So as soon as you're done with your master's and you do your PhD, you get promoted to like lecturer one, lecturer two, lecturer one, and like, you know. So I was like, this is a great pathway to be a professor in UniLab. Like. So I was open for that. And on the on our convocation, Professor Roman Bello announced that, you know, first, I think top two students for each faculty, no, each department, whether you're not up to five in the department, you'll be retained as a graduate student. And that's I think that has been the culture for like 5 years or so. And we're not up to five in my department yet, like previous students, we're not up to five.
Really?
So I just thought like I was going to get it. So I applied for masters in UniLab. But there was this secondary school mentor that felt like I should just go abroad because of my CGPA. It was like too awesome. So it was like I should just go abroad instead of staying there. I'm like, no, I like UniLab, and they giving me this, they promised me this position. But then I think for some reason, maybe politics, several agenda, I don't know, I kept on going back and forth with the school, but they were not giving me any response. Even though I'd applied for my master's, I took the exam for my master's. So like the dean of science now advised that I should go abroad, even like like going abroad does not mean I would not still get the job if I want to when I come back. Like I can go abroad, when I get back I will easily get the job because I have like the experience and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should take this thing seriously. But prior to that, I've been applying for, like, you know, just on the side, like UK applications, but I've not been taking it seriously because I was thinking of doing masters in UniLab. So I don't really need to follow up with referencing and all that. But when the dean of faculty of science told me that, and I heard that my friend was also in Canada, that gave me like a kind of push that maybe I should also go there, because I wasn't sure anymore if I was going to get paid for masters and all that. So I'm like, you know what, I'll just go for fully funded position. Like, why should I pay for a masters when I can get a fully funded
position? Where you can get a fully funded one,
exactly. So then, so usually I was always pushed back, you know, UK is free to apply, why Canada on the other hand you pay,
you have to
so
pay.
I'm like, why should
fees,
I pay for something that I'm not sure I would get? But in UK you get it, but you don't get, you probably might not get scholarship. You have to apply for scholarship separately. But in Canada you pay, and you have the opportunity of getting the scholarship once you are admitted. So my friend that got it, you know, encouraged me that, okay, you can, that like if you get a supervisor, you don't need to apply until you get a supervisor in STEM, in the research area. So that was a good news to me. I'm like, okay, if a supervisor commits to accepting you, then you know your application fee is not wasted. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get through the CGPA of any school. I was that confident because my CGPA was good. So I was that confident that I would get into any university in Canada with my CGPA. So I just searched through. So that brings, that comes to your question like about like how, why I chose Canada. So I also had in mind, I told you about like I was applying by side to UK. I had few audition, but I was still hoping for scholarships then. And I was pushed back for the UK because I felt like most of their condition comes with coming back to Nigeria. And I was like, how would I go to a master's in UK and come back to do PhD in Nigeria? I always wanted to do PhD. So I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I cannot be stressing again after master's. So that was why I was kind of pushed back for UK. For US, that was like a great idea. I could go for PhD directly. But the caveat was like, I have to do GRE. And because I was, you know, my GPA was too good, I was just scared of
confident.
If I do GRE and I fail, like what will, like, you know, having that kind of CGPA, you now fail GRE. I just never was too prepared. I was like, maybe I should prepare more, maybe I should prepare more. I already started for the exam, but I didn't take it because I always felt like I should prepare more. I should prepare more for the exam. So that kind of anxiety. Then I'm like, okay, if this Canada doesn't click, I'll eventually take the GRE. I'll just keep studying for the GRE. God knows, no plan. I'll just keep studying. So for the Canada, so I just typed best schools in, top schools in Canada, and UBC came out. So I'm like, okay, biochemistry. Well, I did plant biochemistry during my undergrad. So I just went through the website. I didn't even know UBC had two campuses. I just went to the one that had the supervisor that was related to my undergrad research. So as soon as I got that, I checked through the, you know, like the UBC, the, funnily enough, the website are usually comprehensive. They tell you what to do, the steps and everything. They were quite comprehensive. So I just went to our email, sent her a message that I did my research in this during my undergrad. I would like to join your lab and I would like to do my master's at UBC. And quite surprising, I got a response the second day. And I was like,
wow,
is this how it works? Yeah. So that was when I realized that no, that's not how it works. I was just lucky. So maybe because like my emails sounded reasonable, you know. Of course, I did something similar in during my undergrad, and I'm going for something like that for my master's. So it was quite reasonable, and I had transcripts to back up. My CV was ordinary. I'll call it ordinary because it wasn't really like what a CV is going to be these days. So it was ordinary. So I believe like my email and my transcript was the one that attracted my supervisor. Probably maybe a bit of my CV anyways, who knows? So anyways, like she sent me response that because she was also familiar with Nigeria, so that's why I think it's good to like, you know, make people get aware that in Nigeria, you know, there are good schools, people can communicate in English, they can do research and all that. So she was like, if I get you College of Graduate Studies, you give me a position. I'm like, perfect, I'll get you College of Graduate Studies. My GPA is not a problem. I mean, like, it's a great school too. So I think I prepared my application in a week. It was easier because I think applying to UBC was, it takes less than an hour if you have all the like SOP
documentation.
I had like a kind of backbone of SOP because, you know, I have a plan. I want to do my PhD. I want to become a professor. So like I had a genuine kind of SOP dream to just like, you know, write it and like put in what I want to do for my master's. It was easy to edit my SOP. It was easy to flow, make it into a good SOP. So I did that and I got my supervisors for undergrad and like some of my lecturers. I was on their neck for 1 week. They were so sweet and kind, like they made everything within a week. My application was done within a week and boom, I submitted. So when I submitted my application, that was when I did master's exam for UNILAG too. But UBC came out first and obviously it came out with good funding and, you know, it was very easy to decide. So I just picked UBC. So that was why I picked UBC. It came with fully funding package with my tuition and living expenses. And
So when you got that mail that said, you know, you've been offered an admission with full funding scholarship and living expenses, what was going through your mind?
Oh my God. Everything. I was like, it was 5 weeks after. So you can imagine 5 weeks after your life is like, okay, the Dean of Science starting to apply and everything. So, and yeah, you apply, okay, maybe 6 weeks, and 5 weeks you got it. My emotion was everywhere. Unbelievable. My daddy was so proud. My mom was so proud. Like, my sisters, I was just too excited. I could not even contain my excitement. So it was just everything for me. It was like a dream. It was like, is this really true? Is this easy? Like, is this the money I'm looking at? Is this the funding? Mm. Is this everything? So it was really good. So,
what was master's school? What was, you know, what was your master's period like? You know, the research you had to focus on. When you eventually resumed, what was the experience like? How was that? How was that transition from in academia in Nigeria, or academics in Nigeria, and then academics in a place like Canada?
Challenging. That's the key word. Let's keep that. So I got to Canada earlier. I was supposed to resume my program in May, but I got there in April because my dad felt like I should settle in and, you know, have more time to study, because he's always a believer of education anyways. So when I got to Canada, even though I came in April, my program was to start in May, I'm like, you know what, I'll just be going to the lab to learn a couple of things before my program actually starts. That was a good idea, because when I got to, my first shock was Excel. So, like, in Nigeria, we plot graph with paper, on paper, with our hand. Yeah. Like, you know, you'll be getting the curves, getting the unknown. So, when I was tasked with, you know, finding, like, you know, doing some assays and protein assays, whatnot, doing preparing a standard curve, and my colleagues were like, okay, I was like, oh, how am I going to get 30 unknown from paper graph? I was like, do you actually do graphs on paper? I'm like, yeah, we do. I'm like, no, there's Excel. Like, you just have to put everything on Excel. I'm like, how does it work on Excel? But my shout out to my colleagues. They were super kind, super helpful. Because I think they also believed that I was coming from a developing country. So they knew that
there would be so much help.
So, and I think it's also important to be humble and ready to learn. You know, of course, if you are intelligent, you passed your courses, you did labs in Nigeria too. So it's not like you are that dull. So you can easily catch up. Do you get? So when I got there, it was easy for me to catch up because I do things majorly independently in Nigeria too, while reading and researching and all that. So, like, my lab mates were willing to help me in every part. And, like, the first translation of experience was when I had to prepare buffer, and I remember doing the buffer in my 300 level class or 200 level class. So I'm like, yeah, so it was actually helpful, it was useful. So I took my 200 level UNILAG note, or 300 level UNILAG note. I went through the preparation and everything, just like a refresher. But, like, I was confident, so, you know, I just had to, like, make, like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I asked someone in the lab, what does this make sense? I'm like, yeah, this is it. So I felt really confident that at least something that I'd learned before, I could use it in Canada to get. So it was kind of, it still gave me confidence that, okay. And maybe because it's still something not too far from what I'd done in the past. So that kind of confidence was there that, okay, it's not too strange. I just need to learn more techniques. You know, in life, I think majorly you really need the confidence, even if you don't know it. It's more important to have the confidence that you can learn. And my colleagues, like I said, they were willing to teach. It was challenging at first because I had to catch up to so many things. I had to catch up, but it was helpful that I had little experience in Nigeria and similar research, nice lab mate, nice supervisor. So yeah,
interesting. So now I'm looking at your MSc. Quick question rather. Is it thesis based, or is, you know, both thesis and labs and classwork?
It's majorly thesis based, but you have to pass some courses. So, you know, you have to do, like, I think maybe 12 credits depending on your, but mine, just in short, for mine was both, but majorly thesis based. It was thesis based, but you have to pass some courses,
some normal courses. Okay, now I'm seeing that you're also graduating with a 91.8% as it relates to graduation and CGP. And I'm like, what? How did you manage that? I mean, so I'm saying this because, especially for people who are looking to go abroad, so they know, you know, that you have to put in the work. It's not just, you know, work over academics in Canada or wherever, you know, wherever it is you're in the world. It's totally different from, you know, back home in Nigeria, right?
Yeah, so even though the GPA wasn't too important for my, because my MSc was majorly thesis, right? But then you need GPA for more scholarships, because for any scholarship you apply, they'll check to your GPA, you know.
Yeah, true.
You have to stand out. Yeah, so I think it also helped for my PhD scholarships too. Anyways, okay. My first course I would have 100% in that they can never remember, maybe aside from primary school or anything, but like in university courses, was in UBC. So my first course I had 100%. I'm like, okay, this is good. Well, I think what helped was that, you know, yeah, they're kind of flexible. Provided you put in the work, you're going to get a good grade. And I wasn't working extra work at that time. Yeah. I was mainly focused on book because I had funding that was okay for me.
You were getting funding, so you didn't need to go through all that hassle.
Yeah, so I was really focused on getting everything together. So I think it helped. And the kind of way I was used to reading in UNILAG, it really helps, because biochemistry in UNILAG, if you know about biochemistry, it's more like you are reading by yourself, you are getting textbooks, getting so many resources, making your own notes. You even beg lecturers to please give us handouts. You make your own notes. So it was helpful because I was kind of independent in that aspect. So reading books were just like easy for me. I can do research by myself and read. So it was easy for me to pass the course aspect. The only aspect was just kind of like, you know, being innovative in research, getting up to speed with, you know, it's
latest,
like,
findings.
I forgot to say that it's a transition, learning from people that, you know, these professors are the ones that make pathways, they're the ones that make textbooks. So it's like a big change, learning from those that teach with textbook to learning from those that make the textbook, if that makes sense. So it's that kind of change.
Yeah, I get
change.
What you mean.
Yeah, so these are the people that make the textbook. These are the people that make these changes, make the pathway. So it was a really big change, and I had to like step up, you know, even though sometimes I have this imposter syndrome, can I really get there? But I still try to, you know, get up to speed. So yeah.
So now here comes PhD, right? I mean, did you consider any other school apart from, I mean, with your CGPA, did you could have literally, I want to assume, right, that you could, you know, picked any other school. UBC the first choice, or, you know, were your professors saying, look, you have to stay with us? Or did you have other suitors in terms of, you know, PhD opportunities as well?
So for PhD, I picked UBC and U of T downtown campus. But for U of T, that was my, like, those are the two top schools. I think UBC and U of T and McGill. I wasn't considering McGill, so it was just U of T and UBC. But then for U of T, I could not get a research that was matching my master's or something like that, you know. It also depends on the research. So where I got, even though I applied, but where I got a supervisor was in UBC. In fact, I got two. So where I got a supervisor was in UBC, which makes sense because they had like a course that I could do, even though my master's was entirely different. But I had a supervisor, I had a little experience that I could put for my master's. For U of T, it was more constricted, and for my master's, finally, for my PhD, I chose this voice up because I wanted to do something. I wanted to broaden my knowledge, if that makes sense, out of the scope of my master's. So that was why I settled on my voice, and I'm glad I picked.
Okay, so I mean, so how has the experience been? I mean, that's one question. The other question is, okay, you can. So let me ask this first, and then you know you can answer that. First question is, so what's your research on? Right, and what has the learning curve been, basically? So what's your research on? What are you looking to contribute to the body of knowledge? And then what also, how has the experience being a doctoral student in UBC, I mean, it's familiar grounds to a large extent because you did your master's degree there, but what has the experience been? And you know what they say, there's a big difference between 6 and 7, right? But what's the difference between a master's student in UBC, even though, you know, it's some, you know, to a large extent, and a doctoral student in UBC. How has that, how is it? How, what are the challenges that you face? You know, I know there will be some good days, there will be some bad days, obviously. But what has the experience been?
Well, it's a big difference. So masters, you just need to learn techniques. But PhD, you're expected to contribute. Like, you know, even masters, you can contribute. But PhD, you're more like becoming an expert in a field, which will help your career. It's like defining your path and becoming an expert. So I'm just going to leave that there. And so I work on cancer research. I mean, get a lot of vibes because these days when I say I'm working on cancer, people are like, oh. So yeah, I work on cancer research in like lay summary, but majorly I focus on like tracking pathways that are affected once you deplete certain nutrients or transporters, like knocking out some transporters or depleting some nutrients. Like currently I'm working on depleting amino acids and see how it affects several pathways in cancer cells. And this is based on the findings of my published by my previous supervisor that, okay, certain parties were affected when we locked down certain enzymes. So we are trying to use mass spec to track these pathways, hopefully discover like how these things work in cancer cells to provide like targeted therapy for some of these aggressive tumors. Currently, we are working on pancreatic cancer, but since this system is like, we are looking to expand into other cancer cell lines, like leukemia, several cell lines. So it's still novel because we are making a new enzyme. We are trying to see how to deplete de novo synthesis. Oh my god, I'm speaking too much about
sounds like Greek to me, sorry.
Yeah, so I'm like, let me come back.
No, it's so fine, anyway. please go ahead.
So we are trying to like target killing cancer cells while sparing normal cells.
Wow, that sounds like something groundbreaking.
Yeah, so hopefully it works out. But it takes years because cancer field has been so many years of research. So it takes like getting, so it's very challenging. I find it really challenging, you know. Many people keep publishing papers. You have to keep up to speed to new findings, you know, to know how you can use it to your own research, modify your research. You have to keep up to speed, and it's a whole lot. But what I've learned is that you just stick to your niche because you can't be everywhere. You can't learn everything.
Cancer is a broad field. Yeah,
very broad. You'd be surprised. Very broad aspects, different type of therapies, different type of like treatments, and like so you have to just pick a niche and become an expert in that. And I was really excited about learning like how to be an expert in mass spec because it's a great tool anyways that is being used. Even if I decide not to be a professor and I decide to go into industry, like it's a great tool and they really need experts. So one more thing, when I was doing my master's and I was confused as to whether like I could be innovative, you know, the research part, I was like, oh my god, can I keep up to speed with research in this West? And can I be like, I have always loved to be, not just be anybody now, I want to be an expert. So I now went to Glassdoor. I went to like a
did like some
research. I had option of just stopping in masters and working or going to do PhD, even though I wanted to do PhD. So when I went to like to search for job requirements, and I felt like okay, even if I do not end up being in academia, PhD will not be useless because in my field they need a PhD for it to work in some at a certain level. So I was you know what, I'll just for PhD. So I usually advise that when you are even stuck in career, ensure that the degree you are going for is something that is needed. It's not something that is redundant, or it's not something that you would not need, because when it gets to a point whereby you are confused at this, you know, your experiments are not working or things are not working, you know, you have something to hold on to that this degree is not a waste. It's valuable to me and stuff like that. So, and whenever I face those challenges, not really, because now I'm just kind of in the face of learning so many new things, cool things, using cool instruments, like a multi-million dollar instrument and all that. So I'm kind of like enjoying my PhD program. Although, like, I still have the fear of, like, will I be able to publish enough papers, like, report so many findings? But I just try to take it one step at a time because it's so large. And, like, the pressure is that, okay, you have to publish in top journals and all that. But, like, I'm enjoying the fact that I get to learn new things every day, new method, new techniques, and become an expert at that. So currently I'm glad where I am. Maybe not, shouldn't be too comfortable, but yeah, because I need to publish more. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a big difference. It's a big, I think most importantly, the pressure, the anxiety that, okay, you have to publish, it gives you more like, compared to masters, you know, masters, you just need one paper or two.
Yeah, good.
It defines your career path and you really need to take it.
Especially if you want to stay in academia,
Exactly. It defines your career path and you really need to think about what to do. So it's always wise to also try considering industry too, just in case. Like these days, people are doing both. And anyways, you can do in industry and still be doing research.
Still be in academia.
Do academia, start up your own industry. So,
But for you, right, what's the ultimate goal? Academia, industry, or a blend of both?
The major thing is academia. I still want to get teaching experience. So I think I'm just trying to like see what I'm going to be good at now. So I want to end up in academia, right? I want to try teaching positions these days. I've done some in the past that I liked. I want to do more. So if I see that, okay, I would prefer teaching position, I'll just like go for faculty teaching ones. Or if I think I still like research, I'll go for research. But majorly, I think I would lean towards getting a faculty in teaching position or going to industry to use my mass spec experience. So very slim chance would be like for me to stay in faculty and research. It's just so much stress, funding, like it never ends here. I see so many professors that they are this stressed, I'm like, do I want to go through that path? So yeah, I'll probably lean towards faculty of teaching or industry.
But on the flip side though, there's a lot of funding for cancer research, right?
Yeah, there is. We'll see when I get towards the tail end of my
video. Of your program.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm just going to round off with this, you know. So at what point, you know, what was the trigger point for you to say, look, I want to do my doctoral program? Was it infused from home or it was some decision that you came to for yourself?
It should be from home. Like I said, when I was doing my BSc final year, people do like be like, oh, professor, and I really liked it. I also wanted to be a professor. So even before coming for my program, I heard postdoc for the first time. I'm like, okay, there's postdoc again. I was going to do it. So when I was speaking to before applying to UBC, somebody was like, after PhD you still have to do postdoc. I'm saying anything that it takes to be a professor, I will still do it. I don't want to get limited. I want to have everything. So if I now decide not to go for it at the end of the day, I know it's not something that is limiting me. So I was going to do PhD and postdoc right from Nigeria before coming here. Just like, can I even do it? It's just like me trying to convince myself that am I intelligent enough for it, but I always wanted to do it from Nigeria.
Nice. I mean, it's always good to have, you know, some plan mapped out, you know, for yourself. Obviously, every now and then life throws you a curveball, but I mean, it's always good to have some plan to say, look, I want to do this, and if I don't get this done, this is my part B, or this is my option B or option C, and the rest. I know I said that was my last question, but this is my last question now. So what is your advice for people looking to going to grad school, be it master's program, a doctoral program abroad, you know, aside from, because it's a different ballgame entirely from back home here in Nigeria. You know, what's your experience? What's your one take that you'd say, look, if you decide to go abroad and you want to go do your master's program or your PhD, you know, what's the advice that you give people?
I would say one, when you are coming to abroad, come with the mindset that you want to make a difference in the research world. Don't just come like, oh, I just want to, you know, just be comfortable or just to get a job or just get something doing. Come with the right mindset, that's one. Two, get a good funding offer that you know that you don't need extra job to survive, so that you don't even get pressure that, okay, I need to get extra job. You know, even if you later get extra job, it's by the side, you can decide to quit if you feel like it's affecting your studies. Do you get so ensure you check the offer, be like, okay, it is okay for you to leave, it's okay for you to take care of yourself, because it might be stressful you know, you don't want to be thinking about how to progress your, and it's fast paced, it's kind of like individual. You might not be lucky to get helpful colleagues, you might just be alone. And if you don't impress your supervisors at beginning or like along the line, you just be left alone. It's just like you're just graduating, just you're not even enjoying the research. So anyways, try to get a funding offer that would not necessarily make you to get extra jobs, like you can still survive without the extra job. 3, try to do something similar to what you have an experience with or on before. I think it sounds vague, but it's very important to build your confidence. You don't want to get into a program and you're just lost. Yeah, you know, it's different. You're going to first adapt to the environment, working culture, academic culture. It's not going to be bad that you're not even good at anything. Do you get? So, you know, what really helped me for my master's at first was that, okay, I knew that this is a field that I've done before. At least I'm confident that I knew some part of these things. You know, I just needed to learn more. So if you are somebody that, okay, maybe you're a fast learner, fine, you can go to a strange field and you can pick up yourself. But ensure you know your capability. Don't compare yourself to others. Know that, okay, even before moving to a new field, read more about it. Read more and see that you can learn. You not like when you are reading, you are sleeping. When you pick up the paper, immediately you sleep off or you lose interest. It's not something that it will automatically change when you get here. Ensure like you like what you want to do. That's very important.
So you don't get stuck.
Either you understand or you like it, or you think you are comfortable learning it. It's very important. So that, and I really think like once you have the mindset, it will be great for you. It will be great for the country. You know, it will even be great for other people too. I really think there's no limit. The sky is our beginning. I hope many international students, most especially from Nigeria, would come gain more expert knowledge, because imagine, you know, you can discover pathways that are not present in cancer cell lines from, you know, or like that will be specific to Nigeria, specific to Africa, and that might be missing puzzle. So these days they try to be more like, you know, inclusive in research. So who knows, it might be like the missing puzzle, you might help research and all that. So I really think we should have the positive mindset and all that. I said
thank you very much, Abisola. It's been fun, it's been interesting, it's been exciting talking to you on this episode. Thank you very much for jumping on this episode with me. So guys, you've heard it. Thank you, Abisola, once again. What's the Nigerian community like in UBC?
It's good, it's great, it's big. It's really big.
Wow. Okay. That's nice. Thank you very much again. So that's it, guys. It's been fun chatting with Abisola. Hopefully when she's done with her PhD, we'll have her again on another episode talking about, you know, her research into cancer, and hopefully she would have found some, you know, made some progress and published more in the cancer and the pancreatic cancer field. Thank you very much, Abisola. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.